Dit is SBS Dutch.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
How was the surprise on Monday?
Well, you've probably seen the sort of shocked look on my face when it happened. There was an announcement that something special was going to happen, but I thought it was going to be some sort of announcement about, I mean, as the minister said, it's not about money. And I thought, my initial thought was the announcement was going to be some sort of funding. But suddenly when she sort of started saying this is about me, I thought, oh my God, what's happening here? Yeah, total surprise.
Yeah, because what happened, you got a special honour. You are now Officer of the Order of the Orange Nassau. How does that feel?
Well, it's something that is so unexpected. I mean, I'm actually still trying to come to terms with it. I mean, it's such an enormous honour. And I'm a bit sort of flabbergasted that this happened. They did it in such a lovely way. This sort of, the Dutch are very good at these sorts of things. It's surprising. You probably saw that little sequence where it's actually a friend of mine who's a maritime archaeologist in the Netherlands, Martijn Manders. He was the one on the Batavia ship, trying to work out whether to get me the Order of the Orange Nassau. And it's just absolutely hilarious. It's so funny. You'll really will laugh when you see it. So yes, but they're very good at these sort of like funny little sort of things that they do, which I love about the Dutch. They're such a interesting.
Yeah, because they kind of tricked you, right? They got you to the Western Australian Maritime Museum to present your new book, Shipwrecks of the Roaring Forties. It was a bit of a cover-up, right?
They
told you, we're going to launch your book, the ambassador is going to launch it.
Well, it's kind of funny because when I arrived there, I saw sort of, two or three people who are part of our family. And I thought, what on earth are they doing here? This is just a book launch. And I keep saying this, I sort of got this sort of vague feeling that they must have invited them as a sort of rent-a-crowd type of thing because they had got enough people to come. And so, it was all rather odd. And, I was a little bit nervous because I had to give a speech with Alistair at the launch. And so I didn't really pay an awful lot of attention to it. But, yes, so it was very cleverly done, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned his name, Alistair Patterson. You wrote this book together, Shipwrecks of the Roaring Forties. Can you tell us a bit about that book?
Yes, well, I mean, the book is really the culmination of 3 years of research that was conducted under the ARC linkage grant, the Roaring Forties, which Alistair, that was a University of West Australia, were the sort of, the project leaders of this. And it encompassed research people from pretty much all over the world. And we had a number of projects that were conducted during the Roaring Forties project. So the idea of the book at the end is basically to describe all of the different bits of research that went into this. It was quite an extraordinarily complicated and interesting project because there were so many different levels to it. We had forensics and we had DNA analysis and we had trace element analysis and three-dimensional reconstructions, all these sorts of different things, all different lines of research that were basically the object of the linkage project was to investigate the sites that were excavated in the 70s and 80s with new technology, and the new technology when we excavated the sites in the 70s, I mean, there were no computers, there were no GPSs, there were no mobile phones. Everything was sort of done in a very simplistic way, and this project and the linkage grant gave us an opportunity to go back and re-examine all of the work that was done during that period of time and see what new information we could get out of it. That's basically the subject of the book.
Were you already interested in boats and ships when you were a young boy?
Oh, yes, I was a bit. It's a kind of a bit of a funny story, but I was at Oxford University and I finished my degree I was looking for a job, and I wanted to do something interesting, and I went to what was then the Research Laboratory for Archaeology in Oxford, and met this the director, and he said, "Oh, you're just the sort of person we need, because we've got a new project analysing paintings, and what we do is we use an X-ray spectrometer to look at the pigments in the paintings, and then we're able to tell whether they've been forgeries or not, or whether the pigments." "Oh, yes, that sounded really interesting." So he said, "Yeah, okay, you can start next week." And then he took me around the building, and he went into this room, and he introduced me to a person. He said, "This person's working on an underwater metal detector." And I kind of laughed, and he said, "What are you laughing about?" And I said, "Well, that you could never, it's very difficult to use something like that underwater because it's all the wrong shape." Mm. He said, "Oh, can you dive?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, would you like to go to Turkey next week and work on an archaeological expedition?" And so my career changed.
Wow.
About 20 minutes from doing analysing paintings to becoming a maritime archaeologist. And that was really the turning point for me in that sense.
You just mentioned it before that nowadays the techniques you have, they are like, it's amazing what you can do now with 3D and everything. What is the most impressive or maybe astonishing thing you discovered now?
Well, I mean, it's almost everything that you look at now that you can use to, I mean, for example, a good example of it is that in 1971, when we started working on Batavia, we had underwater cameras and we were able to take photographs of the site. And they were quite interesting at that time. Now what we can do with those photographs is we can turn, we can use the photographs to create, using the new three-dimensional computer programs, we can turn that into a three-dimensional model, which you can see, you know, you can use VR, virtual reality, to actually go and look at the individual things that are on the site. You can measure things. In those days, if you didn't measure something, then that information was lost because, you know, then you excavated and it was removed. But with this technology, you can go back and recreate what was there before in a way that gives you huge amounts of information which you didn't have before. So it's an interestingly difficult question to answer, really, because there's such a lot of things that new technologies has done. I mean, you've only got to read the book to see how fascinating all these different things are now.
Mm-hmm. What is your next project?
I'm working on another publication, probably slightly bigger than the Roaring Forties project. Our museum was involved with an American team of people in Kenya, in Mombasa, a shipwreck called the Santo Antonio de Tana, and that was excavated in the late 80s. And we are now writing the excavation report. So there's four of us involved in it. One person's in Mexico, one person's in Turkey, and two of us here. And interestingly, the COVID situation has actually accelerated the work because it's now we sort of like communicate every once a week, have meetings, and which previously we would only meet once a year, and the progress was very slow. So that's what I'm currently working on, but there are a lot of other projects that we're involved in too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you so much. And again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Dit is SBS Dutch. Op sbs.com.au/Dutch staan nog meer interessante verhalen.